Radio, entity 0212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome once again to the Talking Sound podcast, coming to you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas. I am Chris Jordan, your host. Today on the Talking Sound podcast, we're going to talk about a topic that relates to a lot of what we talk about frequently, professionalism. Today we're going to talk about resumes, how to go about getting your resume proper, right, everything else, what it should include, and what it should not include. And beyond that, how to go about contacting people, the initial contact, which is one of the most important things in the world. So to start off with, let's talk about what a resume is. Really, a resume is a gathering of information that of your personal expertise and experience. How long you've been in an industry, how what you've been doing. It should include, you know, at least some things from the last few years. Something that I see frequently with resumes is the fact that people want to put everything in the world in it. Number one, put your name, put your email address, put your phone number. Top three things. Name, email address, phone number. Just like whenever you're in school, if it has not those three things, like, I don't even, if we were grading them, let's grade resumes here, all right? As a former teacher, if I was to grade a resume and it came to me with no name, no phone number, no email address, you're gone. You're gone. That's an immediate F to me. Missing any one of those three things is an immediate third off. If you're missing an email address, 70%. You're starting it at 70%. And if you're missing your phone number at the top of that thing, now you're missing 60. Now you're at only 40% capacity. You are limping along in the game of giving people information. One of the main things that a resume is there to do is give people your basic information, how to get in touch with you. The bottom of stuff is the informative section, is where you give people your realm of expertise, what you do. And really, you should start off, at least I think in this industry, with a headshot of yourself. I think I'm of the mind, especially since I do a lot of corporate work, I work with a lot of high-end corporate clientele. I really want that face shot on there. And the main reason I want that face shot is to see if my clientele will be able to respond to you. Now, granted, in the corporate environment and where I work and where I do a lot of my business and the radio environment, things like that, you're dealing with big wiggies. You're dealing with a lot of people that aren't used to a lot of the rock and roll aspect. Now, I've worked rock and roll for years as well. I've worked in clubs, all that kind of stuff. People with neck tattoos, one side of their head shaved and the rest and that side of their head laden with a pound of metal does not bother me. It doesn't. But it bothers a lot of corporate clientele and it makes them woogie. So it's not that you can't come do studio work for me. It's not that you can't come do post-production work for me. It's that possibly if that is your chosen appearance, I might not be able to put you out into a corporate environment as, let's say, an A1 or an A2. Clipping microphones onto Steve Jobs, or not Steve Jobs, he is no longer with us, Michael Dell, people like that. And not everyone's going to say put up a face shot. Really not an essential. They're going to meet you, but eventually, hopefully. The fact is, though, it's gonna do a lot of weeding out. And it's going to let a lot of people know whether or not they should contact you immediately or not, straight out the gate. And I know that's superficial. I know that's horrible, but it's a fact. And it's there. There are certain studios, certain, you know, venues, companies, things like that, where that kind of stuff does not matter a lick. But in some companies, especially those that work in the corporate environment, hugely important. After that, you're looking at, you know, a nice cover sentence. And the reason you want to put this, you know, this nice little paragraph of your intent, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to find, you know, Chris, it's even more of a bio. You know, Christopher Jordan is an audio video engineer that has had years of experience doing this and that, you know, everything from this, you know, from corporate environments to rock and roll to broadcast, talk radio, you know, everything. It's really going to give kind of some bullet points there of what you do. Now, after that comes your experience. And there's a couple different ways to do this. If you're starting out and let's say you're only year one or two, you definitely want to put your work history in there. I want to see where you came from. Did you, let's say you're 23 years old, you just got out of Full Sail, all right? You just got out of Full Sail. I would like to see what your past work history is. Maybe your past three employers, just to see how long you worked there. Are you dedicated? Whether you enjoy it or not, are you a dedicated employee? Because believe it or not, folks, in this industry, in audio, visual, live, studio work, there's a lot of tedious stuff that goes on. And there's a lot of stuff that you may not want to be doing, but you have to do. You know, even with this show, there's post-production, syncing of audio, video, balancing cameras out, that kind of stuff. The last episode where it was two cameras, you know, you got to balance the colors together. You got to sync those things up. And it takes time. It takes time. Let's just give an approximation here for a 30-minute episode of talking sound with two cameras only. We're talking about 3 to 3.5 hours of editing. And that's going through finding the right stuff, having it done right, you know, everything else. So there's a lot of tedium that goes into that. And if you don't enjoy it, well, that's crummy, but you're going to have to do it. So seeing those job positions where maybe you sat groceries or you waited tables for a year at Chili's, not a great job. It's a good job. It's a good job. It's a career for some people. It's not a career for us, for audio engineers, for people that do what we do. This is our career path. This is what we want to be on. And a resume is a great way to get there. It really helps you shine above the rest. And that's what you have to remember. So you do want to put your work history in there. However, once you get to a point where you've been doing things for 20 years, it can really, especially if you're freelance, man, what am I going to do? Throw in 20 different companies that I've worked for over the last 3 years, 4 years, you know, I'm a freelancer. Here's my website. Go check out what I do. So if you're applying for a specific job, you know, you definitely want to put things into that resume that are job specific, that are field specific. You know, if you have worked with these companies in the last 3 years, who, let's say I'm going out for an ENG position for camera, I'm gonna maybe talk to Creative Technologies. You know, I know that they provide ENG camera positions, stuff like that. Not every corporate environment does, but I know ENG does, or rather Creative does. So I might want to put them as a reference as to who I've worked with, that kind of stuff. So your job, your work experience is, I would say, more necessary than your previous employers necessarily. Because, hey man, we've all had a bad employer. We've all had somebody that we didn't get along with. I've had somebody in my past, I'm not going to say my checkered past, but in my past that I've worked with that, to mainstream media, I mean, an amazing job. I loved the job. I lived for the job. I was a warrior for that position. But to mainstream media, if I was to go out and try to work in a newsroom and put them down as a reference, man, I wouldn't be called back by them to for anything. I would never be called back because I worked for someone that was a cage rattler before, you know, and that's not anything about what the job was, what I did on the position, why I left, how I left, anything like that. It's just the fact of that person, as far as mainstream media goes, is, you know, written off, let's just say. So the broadcast is not given credence, so my work would not be given credence. That's the only way that you can really put that. So whenever you're considering what to put and what experience to put on there, you know, you don't want to lie. You never, ever want to lie, because the truth's going to come out, guys, eventually. Don't go around name-dropping either. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, I mean, I could go around and name drop and be like, yeah, I ran monitors for the Kings of Comedy. You know, I did this. You know, I worked for this band. You know, all kinds of stuff. But really, when it comes down to it, those war stories will happen later. What they're trying to find out is your realm of experience, what you can do, what positions you have held, for how long you held them, that kind of stuff. My nitty gritty that I'm looking for is gear on hand. And especially in this industry, you really, really need to put down what gear you are familiar with, what your core competency is. Are you a video engineer before you're an audio engineer? Are you only a video engineer? Are you only an audio engineer? Some people like myself are a Swiss Army knife. Now, I don't know the world about lighting, but when it comes to a basic lighting setup, a leprechaun board, you know, circuit packs, things like that, absolutely, man, I can rock a stage lighting setup any day of the week. You want me to come in and program 800 channels of DMX? I am not your guy. So I'm not going to put that on there. I'm not going to put DMX as something that I can do, you know. I don't do a lot of MIDI programming either, so I'm not going to say that MIDI programming is something that I can do. So you have to think about the gear that you can use and how to highlight that. You know, even I have a section specifically that is like, you know, gear familiarity, and it shows you, you know, what gear I use on a regular basis, whether it's a Barco video switcher, Black Magic devices, you know, what have you, gear that you're familiar with and that you use on a core competency basis, that you use regularly, is key to a good resume. You really do have to let people know, because that's going to be one of the first things they ask you whenever they bring you in. And to me, that's what the resume is all about. I know myself, even without HC Productions, even without the podcasts, with just the websites that I maintain and the regular work that I do to get gigs, everything else, I'm looking at 25 hours a week to 30 hours a week. I'm looking at a part-time job just within that, just to keep wheels turning, things happening. You add to that two different podcasts, editing for those podcasts, time to record them, everything else. And, you know, you're looking at closer to a 50-hour week between everything. And that's, it gets overwhelming rapidly. So you really want to kind of show people what capacity you have to work, where you're coming from, how hard of a worker you are, and the faster you can show them that, the better. I don't have time to go through and read a 5-6 page long resume. Your resume should be 2 pages max. Mine is down to 1. I have a 1-page resume. That's it. Nice and easy. Out the door. There you go. It's my name, my face, my contact info up at the top. You know, what I'm about, my skills, and how long I've been doing it. And that's it. And a link to my website. I make a PDF document so that it can have clickable links, stuff like that. Tends to look a little bit classier. And if you can create a PDF document, it's going to show the fact that you have some skills in other areas. You know, so that kind of stuff can really kind of, even graphics incorporated onto that PDF, you know, faded into the background, things like that to kind of zazz it up. You don't want to get sloppy with it. You don't want to put different kind of text fonts everywhere. You don't want to put, you know, brazen logos places, because you know what? You're looking for work with other people. You're looking for work with other people, guys. So you don't want to sport your own label in front of somebody whose label you're trying to join, whose cause you're trying to be a part of. You know, it's just not good business. You want to show them that you're a dedicated worker, you're good at what you do, you're a motivated self-starter, but you are there for them. Foremost and utmost, you are there for them. That's what customer service is all about. And that's what half of the AV industry is all about, is customer service and knowing how to treat your clientele, knowing how to handle your clientele. So really, really, whenever you're looking at these things, whenever you're looking to get your resume together, you want to craft it. Get together with somebody. Go online, check out a few forums, you know, check out a good cover letter. You need to have a good cover letter together with a resume, folks. The cover letter is where it's at. The cover letter is also called your letter of intent. Basically like, hi, my name is Chris Jordan. I was on so-and-so website and saw that you were hiring for this position. I've done a little research into your company and I really like what you stand for. I really like what you're about. This is what I do. And you basically introduce yourself and give yourself a bio, just like you do in your resume, but it's a little bit more in-depth and focused to that person and to that job specifically. Now, you can make a template for this and fill in the blanks, you know, that kind of stuff. But I recommend writing one off the cuff for every single person that you're doing it with. Now, we're getting to the point here where your resume is complete, where you're done. If you have a website, number one, if you don't have a website, get a friggin' website, y'all. It's 2015. Get a website. I'm telling you right now, just like I was saying about an 8-page resume, I don't have time to read it. It's going directly in the garbage. That's just the fact. And that's probably a fact a good 60% of the time, that if you send a resume that's that thick, someone's going to just throw it away. If you send somebody a full album and a full press package, you know, hard copy nowadays, they're going to throw it away. They want an EPK, an electronic press kit. And that's what I recommend that you do, that you actually make your PDF where it's, or your Word document where it has links to your samples. Like for audio samples, check below. And it'll have hot links that'll take people directly to those things so that they don't have to search you all over. If you have a website, you need to make those samples readily available. Make an audio samples page, a video samples page, you know, players, all that kind of stuff. Make it easy for people to find your work. Whenever they have to go everywhere to find your stuff, oh, I've got some stuff up on Vimeo and my buddy's YouTube channel has a couple things and, you know, I did some work for this and, you know, I don't have time to go up around and search the entire interweb to find your realm of existence. So provide it to the people that you are applying it to. Put it in there, put it in your email as well. Now, like I said, we're getting to the point of contact and that's really what spawned this. If you look on your screen right now, you'll see an email and I get these here and there probably a good few times a quarter. I get a good 8 or 9 resumes that are sent to me. And some of these people I respond to, some of them I don't. This is one that I have not responded to, and I probably won't. If you look at the body of this email, it's literally, hi, my name is blank. Here's my resume. I assume the fact that you sent this from my website contact, do you know somebody that I have worked with? Have they recommended you to me? Give me some detail here. Because if you can't come to me looking for a job and give me more than 2 broken sentences, a fragment of a complete thought here. I don't want to put you in front of my clientele. I don't want you, I don't want to leave you alone in a studio with somebody to record them. I don't want to leave you on a job site dealing with a PowerPoint with 8 different presenters bringing you PowerPoints all day. If this is the best you can communicate, if this is the best that you have to offer me, this is, and remember everybody, first impressions are the world. They are the world. They're set in stone, man. Even years later, after I've worked with people, the story will come out of, oh, you know, the first impression I had of you was this. And I've worked with them many times, and they call me for work, I call them for work, you know, but the first impression is what will always be there. Even if you become the best of friends, that will be the story about y'all being the best of friends is, oh my God, man, when I first met this guy, I thought he was the Joker of Jokers, man. I didn't think he was for real in business at all. You know, I didn't think that he could communicate with clientele at all. But believe it or not, this will get you turned out the door faster than anything. It's just like going up and just asking. It's the same concept of going into a local business, looking for a part-time job, asking for an application, filling it out, and then leaving without saying, you mind if I talk to your manager and hand him this personally? You know, if anything, or your assistant manager, whoever's in charge, your shift manager, you know, it makes a big difference because it shows you want to talk to somebody. You want to get this ball rolling. You don't want to just leave it up front with whatever zippity-doo-dah-yahoo is standing up there. You know? They ain't going to get that to the right place. They ain't looking at getting that to the right place. There's a stack of those things 2 fingers high underneath that shelf. So if you think you're not going to get lost in the mix, you're wrong. Life and this industry are about being proactive. They are about getting out there, getting your name out there, getting ass off of shoulders and getting it done. And that's some rough terminology there, folks, getting ass off of shoulders. That means that you are sitting there doing bum squat. You ain't doing nothing to help your position. And, you know, I know people like that, and I'm friends with people like that, but it hurts me. It kills me inside to hear them looking for gigs, wondering why the gig isn't there. And you're like, hey, have you called your gig contacts? You know, you may have just dropped off their radar for a minute. You know, they may have had 2 or 3 gigs out of state and had a whole new crop of resumes come in that they want to try out. You know, because, yeah, believe it or not, guys, even if you've been working for a company for a little while like myself and working for other people, sometimes you got to say, hey, what's going on? You know, you may not have popped up on their radar, no matter how gregarious of a personality you have. So keep those things in mind. Keep these things in mind. Whenever you are making initial contact with somebody, give it the fireworks, man. Give it the fireworks. Don't, hi, my name's, here's my resume. You know, I mean, to me, that sounds like you're on probation. And you have to put out a certain number of resumes every day and show the fact that you've submitted a resume. That's what it means to me. That you filled out my business name on a piece of paper for the court or for your mom who's trying to get you kicked off her sofa. And not that I haven't been in that situation. I lived with my mom probably a little bit longer than my welcome was warranted. But I'll tell you right now, folks, I've done that myself in life and sat there and wondered why nothing was happening. And the day I figured out the fact that it is completely and utterly up to me, my success is totally based on the effort with which I put into it. And if I put no effort into it, there will be no success. If I make no episode, nobody will watch it. That's the way it works, people. That's the way this industry works. Do what you do so that you can be noticed. Keep doing what you do. Do it. Do it well. Do it hard. People will notice. And that's just the fact. So on that note, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in. Keep tuning in. Stop on by the website. Check us out. TalkingSoundShow.com is where to go. You can catch all of the episodes for season two, all of the episodes for season one as well. They're all free. We do not charge for this content, both in audio and video formats. We have plenty of technical episodes up there. We have technical articles that we write. We also have industry news that's available from industry leaders like Mogami Cables, Shure Microphones, Rupert Neve Designs, Pro Tools as well, Avid Systems. While you're online, please check out our Patreon page. If you believe in what we're doing, please, please, please support what we're doing. So on that note, everybody, please take care of yourselves. Get your resumes done. Get your resumes out there, guys. Your resume should be updated every 3 to 4 months. Every 3 to 4 months during those dead times. So until next time, I am Chris Jordan, your host. This is the Talking Sound Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in and keep reaching for 11. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.